in free market principles to save the free market system.
In a world of conventional confusion,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine. And let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Prepare to unshackle your mind.
An idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government.
Your professor has arrived. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Thursday, June 5th, 2014. I am back from vacation. What a time I had. I had such fun visiting old friends and taking my kids around to different places and see things I used to do and places I used to go and eat and all that stuff in Massachusetts, where I grew up, so we had an awful lot of fun there. Thanks to all you guys who showed up at my event on June 2nd. Boy, did we pack that room. I'm sorry it was hard to see me in that room, but that's a good sign, right? There are a lot of people who are sympathetic. Thanks so much for that. Had a chance to see a guy I haven't seen in years, my college roommate I lived with for 3 years while an undergrad, and we went over to their house. He and his wife have 3 kids, and we had a nice dinner together, and I had 1 glass of wine before dinner, and then 1 glass of wine with dinner. Now, in the old days, in my grad school days, you know, I could drink with the best of them. Like, never an alcoholic, obviously. I finished my dissertation too quickly for that to be possible, but that chapter of my life is over. That is closed forever. But now I have the opposite issue. Now I have such a low tolerance level because I just never drink, just never do it, that I kid you not, 2 glasses of wine, and the next morning I was so hungover. I mean, this is just mortifying. What am I, 98? Unbelievable. All right, well, today we're going to talk to Tim Del Mastro, talk about his forthcoming film, Freedom from Choice. Very, very interesting. Tomorrow on this program, we're going to talk about net neutrality by popular demand. This is a subject I don't really know anything about. I'm going to try to study up on it for tomorrow. But we're going to talk about net neutrality and try to make sense of what the libertarian position ought to be. Because with this sort of subject, you get the word freedom thrown around a lot, and I think it becomes unclear to libertarians what should our position on this be. So we'll talk about what it is and what the correct way to think about it is from the point of view of private property and individual rights. I'm getting a lot of requests, by the way, from people who want me to respond to this news item that came out about this conference about the incompatibility of Catholicism and libertarianism, particularly the comments of a Cardinal Maradiaga of Honduras who has the Pope's ear. Well, again, this is a problem because all I do all day is make homeschool videos for RonPaulHomeschool.com, and I just don't have time to write. I don't have time. That's why I do the show. I do the show because then that way I feel like I'm contributing something to the day-to-day workings of the liberty movement, so to speak, by producing a show every day. At least I can do that. But writing, unfortunately, I just can't do it. But I may just have to force myself to find the time and do it, because this is just so idiotic. It's just so ridiculous. Maradiaga is a leftist in every conceivable way. He's a leftist on the liturgy. He's a leftist on economics. He's a leftist on doctrine. He's a leftist on everything. So the real scandal is that the Pope is interested in this guy, but unfortunately Pope Francis seems to be of the view that Marxism is wrong, but I have a lot of wonderful friends who are Marxist, or I've met people who are Marxists. They seem to be nice fellows. But he would never say that about a free market person, right? He'd never say, well, you know, I know these people, I may not agree with them, but they seem to be decent folks. He would never get that from him. So this is what happens when you have a Pope who goes out of his way to tell people, I am not from the right. Don't anybody confuse me with the right wing. Well, I don't think anybody was going to confuse him with the right wing. I mean, somebody who thinks it's a good idea to take a beach ball and put it on the altar of sacrifice in St. Mary Major is not thinking the way, let's say, other popes might have thought. But I better not get started on that line of argument. But Maradiaga is just an utter disaster. in every conceivable way. So this is not, and then he thinks that it would, he says that the libertarians are struggling before, we're trembling before the Piketty book, which we just demolished on this show. Like, I mean, every day we learn there's another howler in the book, or that the methodology is all wrong, or the conclusions are wrong, the statements are wrong, the history's wrong, and we're trembling before this? What are you talking about? Now, apparently there was some conference at a Catholic university on this general subject, and it was straight out of the Soviet Union. You know, there's no, we must smash the deviationists. No one was allowed to come and defend the libertarian view. No, we're going to have, and the people they had are just embarrassing, mostly nobody you've ever heard of. Then Mark Shields, remember that jerk from, what was it, Capital Gang on CNN? I mean, he was just a Democratic Party hack. What, do you think this is a guy who has deeply studied the Catholic Magisterium, or he's read the encyclicals of Pope Pius XI or something? I mean, he's just he's a pro-union hack. That's all he was. And then they had some union members, again, none of whom I would consider to be experts on the catechism or anything, to come talk about this. And no opposing view was even allowed to come in. But I take this as a good sign. 20 years ago, they wouldn't have had an event like this. But now you've got all these young people who are interested in libertarian ideas, and they've got to go after them. You know, in the old days, I'll get to Tim Del Mastro in a minute, but in the old days, like in the 1950s, it was almost fashionable for American conservatives to convert to Catholicism because they saw this institution that was robust, that was prospering, that was expanding, that was giving the middle finger to the modern world in some ways, and conservatives were attracted to this. And people like Cardinal Maradiaga are trying to make sure that it has no such attraction for people anymore, that now let's try and make the liturgy as clownish and insulting as possible. Let's try to make the music as emasculating as possible. Let's try to be as fuzzy as possible on moral questions, and let's try to be as leftist as we can on the economy. So, yeah, you won't get that spate of conversions that you once had. I would say that is a certainty. All right, let's turn now to Tim Del Mastro of 100th Monkey Films. He's got a new film coming out called Freedom from Choice, featuring a lot of people you and I know and love, talking about the general theme of government interference with the freedom of choice across a whole range of areas of life. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me on your show.
Freedom from Choice is the name of the film project that we're talking about today. What do you mean by freedom from choice?
Well, it's kind of an interesting title for a documentary. If you figure in life in general, we think everyone wants the freedom to make choices, you know, whether to do this or that, you know, all kinds of different things. When you really boil down to the important decisions, you'll find that most people actually want the freedom from making decisions, the freedom from making choices. I'm talking about things like whether banks should be regulated, or whether we should all be vaccinated, or whether raw milk is good for us, or you know, whether marijuana should be legal or not. Most people, because they're so busy with their daily lives, they'd much rather have freedom from making these difficult choices about whether something is good for them or not. And that's why the film is called Freedom from Choice.
What's a good example of an issue you cover in here that involves the freedom from choice?
Sure. Okay. Well, I mean, there's all kinds of examples in daily life. You can look at this basic, little inconsequential examples, like whether an individual should wear a seatbelt or not. I mean, that's a pretty basic choice that isn't really given to us. It's something that is forced on us. We have to wear seatbelts in most states in the U.S., and where I am in Australia, you have to wear it in every state here. But then you have more important issues, such as whether... for example, marijuana should be illegal or not. If I should have the choice of whether I want to inhale marijuana if I want to, particularly if I think that it's therapeutic for me or for my health. But here's an example where the government says, no, you can't, you don't have that choice. Raw milk is another great example where the government says, that raw milk is, or unpasteurized milk, is too risky to consume. And so you don't have that choice, even though one may believe that raw milk has good substances and elements in it. Now, I'm not advocating raw milk or marijuana here. I'm just, or not wearing seatbelts. I'm just giving examples, some of the examples where we don't have the choice to make individual decisions in our daily lives.
Might somebody not come back at you, though, and say that for the most part, these issues are really on the margins of our lives, that when it comes to the major questions of life about marriage or, let's say things like choosing my occupation or choosing where I'm going to live, these sorts of lifelong questions are up to us. And sure, I get harassed over raw milk, but, well, maybe through political action that'll go away. Like, maybe we're getting too worked up about nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you could make that argument until there's something that you really want to do that doesn't hurt anyone else, and you're not able to do it because of some silly law that's out there that doesn't permit you to do it. So you're right. For the most part, all these issues are kind of pithy, but you'll find that there might be an example. There might be a situation in your life where you actually need to do something, and you're not able to. A classic example that's given in the film is by a constitutional attorney named Jonathan Emord. This is a gentleman that defeated the FDA, I believe, like 8 times in federal court. And he makes the argument that, well, what if there's a situation where you have a terminal illness and you need to take an alternate, you need to use alternate therapies to fix your condition because the traditional medical establishment can't provide the medicines that you need. In that case, you should be able to try other things, herbal remedies or what have you. But a lot of times you're not allowed to do that. And it's not so much the individual, but the doctor is not allowed to prescribe anything like that. So if there's an example where it's not pithy anymore, it's actually a life-threatening decision.
Who's featured in this film? I bet my listeners will be familiar with a lot of the names.
Sure. I mean, I went and interviewed quite a few people in the freedom movement. We have, I can just rattle off some names. I mean, we have Joel Salatin, who's an organic farmer. I'm sure most people would have heard of him. He was featured in the documentary Food Inc., which is quite a good film. He covers the issue of food freedom. We have Jonathan Emord, like I mentioned, who covers the issue of medical freedom. Then we have Peter Schiff, Gerald Celente, Mike Maloney, G. Edward Griffin features in the film, and I have quite a bit of help from the members of the Free State Project up in New Hampshire. So, and the list goes on. I think I interviewed 15 or 16 people for this film. Jeff Berwick is another one that comes to mind that features in the film. So, yeah, quite an all-star cast of freedom-loving people.
So the idea, then, is that you're taking all these people, you're having them tell their stories about their own area that they're interested in with regard to freedom from or freedom of choice, and you're showing that this is not just a scattered bunch of people with a scattered bunch of particular interests, but that there's a coherent theme to the whole thing, which is that each one of these people is saying that people ought to be able to make their own decisions, whether it comes to food, medicine, their finances, or whatever else.
That's absolutely correct. You nailed it. For example, Peter Schiff will talk about how choices are limited in the financial industry because he's an economist and a money manager. He talks about how in order to be a licensed broker, you need to have a certain license. And although that sounds like a practical thing, you wouldn't want people out there that, managing your money that's not licensed. You don't have that choice. Perhaps you want to invest in someone that has a fund that invests in Bitcoin, for example. And a lot of times, because Bitcoin is such a gray area out there in the financial world still, you don't have that choice of whether you can invest in them or not. So that's just one example. I mean, there's, like you said, Joel Salatin talks about food freedom and, like you said, experts in each field kind of break down the limitations, the hidden limitations in their particular field of expertise.
Now, there is, I think my listeners will find it interesting, there is something interesting about the fact that you're in Australia. And, well, that's interesting for two reasons. First, that Australia is not known for having a robust libertarian community. So I wonder if you can pause and tell us about that for a minute. And then secondly, what's an Australian guy doing telling Americans the story of their own increasing lack of freedom?
Sure. Okay, well, I'm actually not originally from Australia. My mother is Japanese, and my dad's from the U.S. He was actually part of the service, and he was stationed in Japan when he met my mom. So I've lived the majority of my life either in Japan or in the U.S. I live in Australia now because a lot of my work now is creating video game commercials and trailers for the video game industry, and I happen to be working with a game developer down here at the moment. So that's why I'm down here. So I'm not, and I have taken out Australian citizenship because I love the country here, but I still consider myself an American deep down.
Okay, fair enough. What has been your experience, though, in Australia in terms of the kind of message that you're spreading in this film?
Yeah, I mean, the film is very U.S.-focused, obviously. Australia is a little bit of a different situation. It's more left-leaning, but perhaps it can afford to be because the government runs trade surpluses and we don't have the huge, the mounting debt that the U.S. has. So I guess you could make a case that, with the mining boom that's happening down here, redistributing wealth is not that bad an issue down here because there is quite a bit of money, floating around. It's not like, with deficit spending on silly wars and stuff like that, although Australia does, follow the U.S. into many, many conflicts, but, it's a token effort. So, you're right. It's the U.S., Australia is a lot more left-leaning than the U.S., and let's face it, I mean, finding libertarians down here isn't that easy.
Yeah, I've had Ben O'Neill, I was telling you about this before we got on the program today, Ben O'Neill on the program a couple of times, and he's always told me that in Australia, it seems to be the case that people are generally, when it comes to questions like this, more or less laid back and in the middle. They don't get too excited politically either in one extreme direction or the other. It's hard to get them really all that interested passionately in one direction or the other. Is that also your experience?
Oh, absolutely. That just comes down to the culture here and the fact that life in general is just so easy down here. It's not the dog-eat-dog kind of mentality that's in the U.S. So because everything's so so easy here and so laid back and relaxed. You're right. Most people don't really care about politics. They don't care one way or the other, really.
So what are you looking to accomplish with the Freedom from Choice film?
Well, I'd like to point out and just shed a light on the whole premise that most of the regulations in the U.S. are excessive and, oftentimes unnecessary. And this limits the individual's freedom to make individual choices. That's really what I wanted to portray in this film. And I should also add that I'm not actually against regulations. Regulations aren't bad in and of themselves. But the film points out that most regulations in the U.S. actually have an ulterior motive than just protecting the people or, that kind of thing. You'll find that most regulations are put there because they give an advantage to one company or organization over another. So it's that whole corporate, the cronyism and the crony capitalist type of system that I reveal in this film. And I give plenty of examples of that throughout the film.
Now, what state is the film at? I mean, are you doing editing now? Are you still doing... Are you all finished with the interviews? What is exactly is the status of the film?
No, so the film is completely finished. We've actually launched a Kickstarter campaign to raise money to pay for the licenses of the footage and the archival news footage that I've included in the film. Once I can pay for those licenses, then it's just a matter of mastering the film. And then on top of that, before you can actually distribute a film or you know, make it available on Netflix or Amazon or iTunes or anywhere else, you need to take out an insurance policy, which is what's called an errors and omissions policy. And that's just a compulsory thing that's put on filmmakers before they can release a film. And that's quite an expensive insurance policy. So I'm also seeking funds to raise money for the for that policy as well.
Well, I've seen the trailer for your film. I'll try and remember to put it in the show notes for this episode so people can watch it themselves. And it's very well done. I mean, if the whole film looks like this, then it's a absolute winner. It's the sort of thing that would keep people's attention. And, of course, you've also chosen, I think, the interviewees very, very well. You've chosen people who aren't just knowledgeable, but who are fun to listen to, who are very engaging.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with that. I mean, Peter Schiff is always interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Gerald Celente, I mean, the interview that we filmed with him, it was just so funny and so entertaining because he's just got such passion and such emotion to everything he says. I think we have a great lineup of contributors in this film, and as you said, the quality of the trailer looks great. The rest of the film does look like that. The film's essentially finished. We've just got to raise the necessary funds to finish to get the clearances and the licenses so we can release it.
Now, the Kickstarter campaign is on the verge of ending. Where you and I are talking today, it is the 5th of June, and it's ending in less than 48 hours. So we want to get people over there if they want to support this project. What's the easiest way to do that?
Sure. There's a couple ways to do it. They could just go to Kickstarter.com, and then in the search field up the top, they can just type in Freedom from Choice, and it'll be the first hit that comes up. Or if they want to find out some more information about the film, they can go to the film's official website, which is www.freedomfromchoicefilm.com. And there's a whole bunch of information about the synopsis and the cast on the website. And if they want to fill out our mailing list form, then they can be notified when the film is released.
Well, sounds great, Tim. Best of luck to you. I hope it is a big success. I hope people come and support it. And you've done really, looks like terrific work to me. I look forward to seeing the finished product. Thanks for being here today.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Tom. Thank you.
Okay, everybody, that's our program for today. Remember, tomorrow we're talking net neutrality, so you don't want to miss this one. This is an issue where it's possible to make all kinds of horrific errors, and you will be inoculated against those if you tune in to the program tomorrow at TomWoodsRadio.com, or if you subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, which you can easily do at TomWoodsRadio.com. Remember, June 19th, I'll be speaking in St. Paul, Minnesota, August 15th, Nashville, Tennessee. And finally, remember that you can support the show by becoming a supporting listener, getting transcripts of all the interviews, plus discounts at a bunch of Liberty retailers, 60% off my LibertyClassroom.com. For as little as 5 smackers a month, it's like AAA. You can make it pay for itself if you use it the right way. So head over to supportinglisteners.com and warm my heart if you're enjoying and benefiting from the program. And of course, you can always help us out at no cost to yourself when you're about to make that Amazon purchase by doing so through the widget at TomWoodsRadio.com. All right, tomorrow is finally what you've been asking for. Net neutrality it is. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
The Tom Woods Show.